Blog Talk Radio.
This morning, I see my girls are in the chat room and on the calls. Of course, I have my mother. Thank you for calling in. And my boyfriend is listening in. Hi, John. He is a virgin blog talker, so we'll see how this goes. And it is making me even more nervous, but he's been asking. So I said, okay, he could come on. For those of you who are unfamiliar with me, I'm Lisa. I also go by Spiritually Guided Truths, which you can find me on Facebook under that name. You can email me at spirituallyguidedtruths@yahoo.com, and you can also go to my website, which is spirituallyguidedtruths.com. First off this morning, I want to say thank you for everybody who's coming in. Mom, Lisa's yelling hi to you in the chat room there. And I want to throw out a thank you to Ashley Veneman. She is a new friend of mine. If you guys noticed on my front page on my radio show, you'll see my new logo, and it's also on my website and on my Facebook page as well. She is a graphic artist, and she decided to gift me a logo, which was very kind of her. She spent a lot of time doing it, and she kind of took some time on the phone with me to make it interpersonal. There's some real, a lot of interpersonal meanings to that to me, and I just want to throw out a thank you to her. Anybody who might be looking for such things, her name is Ashley, and her last name is Veneman, and you can find her on Facebook as well. She's a very sweet girl. She lives here in Southeast Wisconsin near me, and I'm hoping to meet her in person one day, but I just want to throw out a thank you to her for gifting that to me. It was really a blessing getting a restart. I obviously didn't want to use my old logo. I also want to throw out a thank you to Julie Adrianson. Those of you who remember me from before, I had done a children's book, and she was the artist for it, and I have written another one, and she is, as we speak, working on the graphics for that one as well. So we will be putting that out sometime soon, I hope. I'm hoping it'll get out sometime by the holidays, but she's a busy girl, and I'm not sure when those will get done, and we'll get it all put together. But just wanted to put out thank yous to everybody who deserves a thank you, and, of course, my people in the chat room that I love so dearly. This morning's topic is, as you guys saw, it is kind of releasing emotions from your situation and from the problems that you're having. I've been getting I've had a few readings, and I've had phone calls, and actually Ashley and I, in our conversation and getting to know each other, discovered she was having the same issues. And what we're finding is, as the holidays are approaching, people are having difficulty struggling with the stress and the turmoil that comes along with that, whether it be dealing with family, with children, with relationships. And what we've discovered in the conversations and what I've talked to them about is that we tend to take our wounds that we have, and we tend to put them onto other people. We also tend to take the social and TV, whatever, movies, stereotypes, and we tend to attach them to people based on their title, whether it be mom, dad, husband, wife, friend, brother, sibling, friend, whatever it should be. And we have an expectation of them, and we need to learn how to detach the emotional response to that, because it causes lots of problems in a relationship. I struggle with things from childhood. We all do. We all have our little inner child wounds that we deal with. John will laugh about this, but my boyfriend will tell you that I suffer from fairy tale itis. Those things are attached to regret. And so now I do have in sometimes not always, mister, so don't quit. I have a unrealistic, idealistic view of exactly the behaviors that he should have. And in truth, what we discover is those expectations that we're putting on people and our reaction to them, our emotional reaction to them, really, in truth, doesn't have much to do with the person that we are placing them on. So I just had a phone call with a very dear friend the other night who called me, and I'll start with that before I throw myself under the bus here. I'll start with that. She called because her father, who she's very close to, and she grew up in a very household that was very dominated by the male version, the father in the household. And she is now 51 years old, and her father has made some choices that are causing her a lot of stress, a lot of turmoil, a lot of heartache, and she's really struggling through those things. And he calls her on a daily basis to reiterate the new things that he's decided to do. And they're things that actually harm her emotionally, and it is destroying her family. It is destroying his own marriage, as a matter of fact, of over 50 years, the choices that he's making. And I told her, let him know that it's bothering you, that you love him and that you'll still communicate with him, but he's not allowed to call you and tell you these things because they hurt you. They break you down. They break your spirit. They cause you anxiety. And she said, I can't do that. He's my father. You can't tell your father that. And I said, well, you certainly can. And her upbringing and her view of what father or dad was told her that she could not tell him that he had to respect her or her feelings. And I explained to her, you're 51 years old. You pay your own bills. You have your own relationship. You have your own marriage. You handle your own life. And as a matter of fact, and people don't know her, so I won't give a name, obviously, but I will say she even uprooted her entire existence and everything she had ever known for 50 years in order to move across the country to get away from all this and all the turmoil. And what she found is that when she moved, it didn't actually leave her. It followed her because it follows her by phone. No distance can stop the communication and the connections. So even though she uprooted and literally gave up everything that she ever owned, she moved and she still had all these things following her. And what we talked about is because the things that we try to leave and the things that we try to run away from are within us. They have nothing to do with the outside world. And although some people may say that her father is in fact causing this turmoil for her, he's not. Her own view of herself and her own view of the word father to her is causing this turmoil within her. So it has nothing to do with him calling, and it has nothing to do with the things he's saying to her or even the choices that he's making in life. It has to do with her view of where she stands in life with him and with herself. And she needs to go inside and she needs to find that self-respect again so that she can feel confident in saying, you are not allowed to do this to my life. You are not allowed to do this to my energy. You are not allowed to cause me this anxiety. I've asked you not to call me. I've allowed you to continue in my life, even though your choices are not something I agree with. But you are not allowed to disrespect me by continually placing these things on me. I've asked you not to do it. And as much respect as I have for you to continue to love you when you're making choices that you shouldn't be making or that I feel you shouldn't be making, you need to respect me in appreciating the fact that I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it, and it destroys me. And she cried, and she was so upset because she just couldn't comprehend that. And I think sometimes what we forget is each individual person on the planet is here for a purpose. We all know, and we can all look at it from our own viewpoint, and I do it all the time, and then sometimes I forget as well, so I don't speak this from any kind of a soapbox. Each individual person here is a spirit who's here for a journey. And each individual person here has their own set of wounds and their own reasons for being here. Because as you all know, I do believe in life contracts, and I do believe that we come here for a certain purpose. I do believe that we come here to learn things, and I do believe we have free will. And free will allows us to decide how we're going to get to certain places, but there will in fact be certain places along our path that we will hit no matter what we go, which way we go. We, our free will allows us to pick the nicely paved road that's fairly smooth, or it allows us to pick that bumpy road filled with potholes and difficulty, or the one that all the trees have fallen down over and we have to climb over everything every few minutes until we're in exhaustion. We make things difficult on ourselves. But we are all here for a purpose, and we all are here to learn something specific. And so what I suggested to her is what I'm going to suggest to each one of you as you reach the holidays or whatever it is. The holidays just tend to cause more stress, so I bring it up now. But we actually struggle through this throughout the year no matter what. Holidays tend to bring more stress because it seems to be a congregation of people who have all kinds of cords attached to you and all kinds of emotional responses attached to you. So what I'm going to recommend is what I recommended to her, is that if you can take some quiet time, and I know that people struggle with this because they think that meditation means that you sit on some mountainside for 6 hours barefoot in a toga. Really not how it is. It just means that you go into a quiet place, whether it be for 5 minutes or whether it be for an hour. Is up to you based on your time and based on your attention span and what it is you can handle. I do promise you that the more you practice it, the easier it becomes, and you can do it. But go in and pull each one of those individual people in, and only do it one at a time because it can be overwhelming. And when you go in, so for the person that I just talked about, let's say we're going to pull in her father. And I suggested that she pull in her father, and she look at him, but she remove the word dad and father from him. Because the word dad and father has a stigma with society, like I talked about, and has a stigma with movies or whatever it is that we've attached that with, or power or respect or control or, you know, whatever word is attached to it. Reality is right or wrong, and I don't want any ugly emails telling me how wrong I am if your particular situation doesn't fit this. But the truth is that the male tends to be attached to control and power within a household, and the female tends to be attached to emotion and nurturing in the household. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter if it causes trauma or not. I don't care. Like I said, no ugly emails. But the reality is that that is the way it is. So I suggested that she look at him now and remove those words father or dad from him. And only look at him the way she saw herself as an individual soul or an individual spirit here on a journey for lessons. And in doing that, because she had known him for so long in her life and she knew so many details of his life, to now slowly review his life in truth. Not in the truth that makes you feel better because it validates your point that, well, they're just being an ass, but in truth as to really how it was and really what you know and do it from your heart. And if you can do that and slowly build from the youngest that you, what you discover is that they have had struggles. And they have had situations where they've had wounds that have developed. And they have their own set of baggage that they have brought along with them. And as you start to notice that, what you'll discover is that even though you may not approve of it, you start to have an understanding of why they may be making the choices that they're making. And it still doesn't mean that you approve of them. And that's where people struggle because people want to be mad. People want to be angry. People want to hate and people want to blame. And you can't do that. Everybody is individual and you don't want to be hated and you don't want to be blamed. So you need to find a way to allow someone else to have the same freedoms that you're asking of them. So as she goes through and she does this, what she'll discover is that, again, although she may not agree with it, she has an understanding of why they might be making the choices. And you're able to see that person's hurt, and you're able to see that person's grief, and you're able to see that person's vulnerabilities. Once you can have an understanding of that, what you find is that you'll have a forgiveness for it. The other mistake in forgiveness. People think that the word forgiveness means that you are allowing somebody else's behaviors to be approved of. That is not true in any way, shape, or form. Forgiveness has nothing to do with approving of what someone has done or someone's choices are. What it does is it says, I will no longer allow you to hold rent in my mind, in my body, or in my spirit, because the anger and the hurt is draining. And as long as I allow you to hold all that anger and hurt in me, and I think about it and I carry it that way, it affects my life and my energy. So by understanding where your wounds are and by being compassionate to where your wounds are, I forgive you for them. Here's the other mistake I find people make. The person that you're doing this with never has to know. You can choose to share with someone that you've forgiven those things and you've let those things go, or you can keep that completely to yourself. Because the truth is, forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else. Forgiveness is all about you. Forgiveness is about saying, I will no longer allow this to occupy my life. I will no longer give this person and their choices space within my life. I choose to release that space so that something better can come because the space that this is occupying is uncomfortable. And she thought when we talked about it that that would mean that she had to completely disassociate with her father and let her father never speak to her again or never be a part of it. And that's actually not true either. What it does is it will allow you to see them differently. It will allow you to see them as a human who's struggling, just like you. As a human who has emotions and feelings, just like you. As an individual person on their own individual journey. And what you will find is that when you are in their presence, you have more peace. You have more comfort because you've let those emotions and those feelings go. Now, in doing that, what she'll also find is her own self-respect, because she will also hear and feel herself saying, you know what? He's made his mistakes, and so have I. He has made choices that affect his life, but I've allowed them to affect mine. And I am a beautiful, loving, 51-year-old woman who's a good person and who has done well in her life, struggles and victories. And I am simply going to just require that he respect that the same way that I respect him. And she kind of panicked a little bit. And she said, but what do I do? What do I do when he calls anyway? And I said, your simple and polite reply can be, I have asked you kindly not to discuss this topic with me. I have asked you with my heart because I love you, not to discuss these things, these choices that you're making, these things that you're doing with me because they hurt me. If you choose to disrespect that, that is also your choice, but I'm choosing to end this conversation and these communications. Should you change your mind, feel free to call me back and hang up the phone. There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with keeping your cool, being calm, and just letting someone know that they are not allowed to do that to you. Now, those of you who know me well will know that I am a big loudmouth, and I speak it how it is, and I say it how it is, and I am overfilled with emotions, and I'm incredibly oversensitive. Yes, John, I'm sure you're laughing. Our emotions get in the way, and that's what I decided to do this today, and that's what Ashley and I had talked about. Our emotions get in the way because the truth is that all those things that we become angry about, and unfortunately it tends to be with the people that we love the very most, all those things that we become angry about come from a core issue that we have within ourselves, a core loss that we have within ourselves, or a wound that we have within ourselves. And Ashley and I had a very good conversation this morning, interestingly enough. She was trying to help me with my watermarks on my business cards for this new logo. And we were talking about the fact that she, like I, has fairy tale-itis, where she would like her husband to do every single thing that's in her mind and to know, because he knows her well, to know that that is exactly what she needs within herself. And that why isn't he doing that? And it was causing a lot of frustration and turmoil. I did explain to her that I'm actually the opposite. Although I have fairy tale-itis, I don't expect him to read my mind, but I do tend to like spit it out there and make it of utter importance to me, and then expect him to base his whole day and every thought that he has on what that need is. And that's just, in truth, as unrealistic. So what I suggested to her, and what I am struggle with, and I'm attempting to do myself, is to do exactly what I told my dear friend to do with her father, to do with her relationship. The difference in doing it with your relationship is that when you go in and you face that person that you're having these expectations of, what you also need to do is you need to call in your higher self or your inner self in that conversation with you. Because what happens is that as we grow up and as we live our lives and new things struggle and new things happen, we still carry with us the things from our inner child, our younger years, that we feel lacking in our lives, whether it be self-esteem, whether it be body image issues, whether it be a speech impediment, whatever garbage it is that we carry along with us that make us not good enough. And when we don't go in and we're not honest with those things, or when we've allowed too many wounds or too many energies of other people to cause us wounds that we've held on to for so long, they get harder and harder to face, because the deeper we dig the hole that allows all those things to pile up in there, the more there is, and the harder it is to dig down through it, dig down through the muck and see where the truth is. And so what happens is, when it gets too difficult for us to do that, we tend to take the people close to us or that we love the most, and we want them to fill in the void that's missing there. So in Ashley and I's conversation, we said, this is what happens, is that we're expecting someone else in our lives to tell us that we're good enough, we're honest enough, we're smart enough, we're pretty enough, we're thin enough, we're heavy enough, we're whatever the issue might be. And we're begging and we're getting angry because, you know what, they're not doing it for us. They're not fixing it for us. They're not making that feeling that we have go away. And the truth is that that feeling was there long before that person ever came into our life. It was there long, long before it ever came up to surface. Things come up to surface at different times. It's referred to as peeling the onion in the spiritual realm. You have to peel it layer by layer. And they can't fill that void. So that's why I say, when you bring in that person, when you go into your quiet place and you bring in that person's higher self, you also have to bring in yours and your inner child. And you have to make a determination between what is actually truly important to you and what is it that you're expecting someone else to do to fill a void or to hide a demon that you're just too afraid to look at. Because the truth is, we become too afraid. It can be too painful. And in doing that, you start to realize, dang, I expect a lot of somebody. Gosh, I guess I expected them to fix some things that I'm too afraid ever to take those things over. And although we do hope that our loved ones, and we want our loved ones to come through, and we want them to cushion the blow, so to speak, or to be gentle with us as we face our wounds, the truth is what you'll realize is that the wound has nothing to do with them, and that it is really, truly better off to just face it, to just see what it is and face it head on. Just like with most things in life or problems that we try to avoid because we don't know what the outcome is going to be, what we'll discover is once we look at it head on, and as I say often, put all the cards on the table, and even if your hand sucks, know exactly what it is you've got to play. It's usually not as bad as we had thought it was. Usually over time, our mind and our emotions and our ego, in truth, has added to that to an extreme that it's made it seem so much scarier and so much worse than it really was. So as you're looking at those two things, the person that you're expecting this from, as well as your younger child, you need to do the same thing I had suggested to my friend with her father. You need to detach your own personal expectations, not only of the other person, but of that inner child, and you need to forgive it. Because you know what? They didn't cause it, and they didn't do it. You need to forgive yourself in that situation the majority of the time, because you were just too afraid, and people find it to be a weakness, and it's truly not a weakness. Some people are afraid to go in and face their demons because they feel that it is, in fact, looking at a weakness within themselves. I promise you that when you do this, what you'll discover is it is, in fact, not a weakness. It is the bravest and strongest thing you will ever do in your life. And it will change your life to a degree that you could never even imagine. And once you let go of all those things and you empty that hole that you've built of all these negativities in your life, what you'll discover is, wow, I feel so much better. I feel so much lighter. Carrying that was so much heavier than I ever realized. And now I have this hole in my heart, yes, but it's open and it's free and it's made space for someone else. It's made space for something else to come in there, something positive, something fresh. But again, it's a scary route to get there, and you just have to choose to do it. You have to choose to forgive yourself. You have to allow those things to let go. Some of us will go in there and we'll discover that we have made choices in our lifetime that have affected someone else. We have made choices in our lifetime that, for whatever reason, whether it be death, whether it be a cutting of a cord, whether it be you cannot reconnect with someone in order to try and repair what you can with that. Nothing actually still stops you because, as you all know, energy is energy and spirit is everywhere. You can still connect with that person and connect that person to you and have a conversation with them. And you can let them know your true regrets. And it's kind of funny when I say that, because when I suggest that to people who have, you know, some pretty big demons, we all have different levels of demons within our lives, but when I suggest that to some people that have pretty big demons, they think, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that, because in a weird way, even if they say they're going to, the honesty of saying exactly what those things were and what those things cause is too difficult. It's too painful. And the ego doesn't want us to do that. The ego doesn't allow us to do that. It's only you, and it's only your spirit, and whatever belief system you believe in. You all know that I don't really care what you call the spirit that you believe in. Just believe in something, and believe in something that doesn't harm others, and that's the only request I ever have about that. But as you do these things and you think that you're hiding it from anybody, you're not. You're not hiding it from anybody at all. So it is better just to face it and let it go. In that moment, it is only you and your true self and spirit, or again, whatever you believe in, whatever word you want to use for it, God. And you know what? Here's the deal, guys. They already know. You're not hiding anything. They already know. They already know everything that you've ever done. They already know every feeling you ever have. And here's the part that is such a struggle for me that people don't understand. They also already know your remorse about it. So there is no punishment. They're waiting. They're waiting right there for you to say, I don't want to carry this burden anymore. I don't want to carry this anger for this person anymore. I don't want to go to family functions and look at each individual person and feel pain in my heart because of the things that they've done to me in my past. I don't want to carry these things anymore. Please help take them from me. Please help me to view them so that I can let them go. Your true heart is what is always felt by spirit, regardless of your words. The problem with our words and our actions is that they affect the people around us. And although we feel like we're putting up this wall or we're blocking these things that cause all these people not to see this real hurt, what's happening is we're only filling in that hole with even more regret, with even more disappointment, with even more expectations. We're making everything so much more difficult. Sometimes we just have to take the time, let go of the fear, dig out the hole, and share it. If you ever need a friend, talk to a friend about it. Everybody has that friend that tells them the way it is, the friend who's very factual about it. Go to a group. Go to a parent if there is a family member. My mom pretty much knows about everything in my life. I don't hide too much from her, and I usually tell her everything. She doesn't always agree with it, but she accepts it. She accepts it because it's my choice. And those are the types of people that you can share these things with, people that you trust. And if there's truly no one you can trust, or if it truly hurts that much, then go into your quiet place and talk to spirit and talk to your higher self and call in each individual person. That's the other mistake people make when I say that. I guess I should clarify it. In order to speak to someone in spirit, they do not have to have passed. All of us have our spirit who's here in this human body that we carry, and I wish mine had been built a little bit nicer. But we all have that spirit, but we also have an attached higher self that remain there. It remains on the other side, and it is all-knowing. It is that fight-or-flight response. It is that gut instinct that tells you. It is that thing that makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand when you know something is right or wrong, regardless of what's been put in front of you. It is that part of you. It is the all-knowing part of you. And you can ask that all-knowing part of you to help you connect to the all-knowing part of the other person. And you will be surprised, and I know it sounds crazy, and a lot of things that I talk about sometimes sound crazy, and I will say that I always tell everyone, the worst thing that can happen is nothing. What are you afraid of? That you'll sit in a quiet place, and in your mind, you'll go to a quiet place, and you'll connect these two spirits, and somebody might actually find out about it and think you're nuts and put you in a white, pretty white jacket in a padded room. Nobody's ever going to know but you. So you can try it, and you can try and clear the waves, clear the air that way. And the worst thing that can happen is nothing. But what you'll find, I think, and at least what I've found over the years, and what I've discovered and been told that other people find when they actually do find the courage to do this, is that the relationship changes. The energy between the two people change. They're affected. Because people don't even have to understand or believe in the fact that their higher self part is still there, their all-knowing self part is still there, but the reality of it is, and there's nobody who can convince me differently because of all the years I've been doing this and all the things that I've seen and all the things that I know. There absolutely is. So I repeat, the worst thing that can happen is nothing. So go in and try to mend those relationships the best that you can. Ask for forgiveness where you feel you need for forgiveness. And you can even ask for change, or to help someone else see your understanding, or to help someone else see your light through doing those things that way. Holding on to all of these things is just genuinely not worth it. And over the last few months, and I'm not going to get into details on the air today, but over the last few months, it's been really hard. People think that because I do what I do, I don't have these struggles. It's really not true. Sorry. There's that oversensitive, over-emotional side of me. It's really not true. And I do my best, and sometimes I fail, and sometimes I succeed. But I do my best to really practice the things that I preach, to go in and find that inner part of me that is causing the turmoil within my own life and therefore radiating out to the other people around me. I truly do try to live my life based on karma, that everything that we put out there returns back to us, but it's picked up energy. And that's the other thing that has to do with these detachments of things, is that people don't realize that their actions and their reactions to everything affects so much more than what they see. Ashley and I had a really good conversation about that the other day, too. And the best analogy that I've ever been able to come up with is you have a certain amount of energy here. And when you send that energy out, it goes out into the world. And it will eventually return back to you. But it's going to come back to you, and it's going to have attached to it all the energy of all the people or energies that it has affected. And people have the misconception that their decision or their choice or the thing that they're doing only affects that immediate person around them, and it's not true. And we need to take that into consideration, and we need to try and adjust our actions and reactions. And most of the time, our actions and reactions are based on an emotion that we need to clear up. That's just the reality of it all, and that's why I kind of got into this as far as like starting to release your attachments to other people and your expectations, because they're attached to emotions that are wounds of your own. But when you send something out there, it affects everything around you, and it affects so much more than you see. And my best explanation I've ever come up with over the years was, is it's like throwing a rock in the water. Those immediate ripples that occur as the rock hits the water, those are the direct people around you. But if you notice, the ripples go out farther and farther and farther, and they're affecting energy farther and farther away from where the rock actually hit or where the statement or action actually occurred. And even if you're looking at the lake and you see that, underneath the water, even when the ripples have stopped, that energy is still flowing. Scientific fact, it's still moving. It's still caused to move within that energy. And it is no different, and that's why that rock is your actions or your reactions to what you have. Because say you have an issue, we'll just use this because it's figurative and less personal than family or loved ones. You have an issue with a coworker, and you go into work in the morning and you're a little bit on the edgy side, probably more than likely for something that has nothing to do with that coworker. Absolutely nothing. You kind of started off your day that way and it has nothing to do with that coworker. And then you go into work and that coworker says something to you that just gets under your skin. Get your nap going. You're just going to let them have it. And you react to that immediately with the emotion of frustration and anger. Again, remember and be honest with yourself, the frustration and anger that you're reacting with has nothing to do with the coworker. It happened long before you even got to work that morning. But you react to that person in a way that is negative or hurtful or poor energy or whatever word you want to put on it. And you think, oh, gosh, I affected that coworker later on when you finally calmed down. But what you don't understand is that reaction or that emotion affected so many else, because what you did is you affected that coworker's energy. And even if they pretend that it did not bother them, human nature says, so unless they're anti-human, human nature says that on some level that it did. And it's kind of funny because it's the people who say or do that the most verbal, I don't care what you think or I don't care what you feel, are truly the ones that feel it the strongest. That's just their barrier that they're putting up to seem more powerful or to try and pretend it. But that person's been affected by it. So the next person that they're coming in contact with or the next situation throughout their day is going to be affected by the fact that that energy has been changed. Their mood or their feelings or their emotion, or maybe you kicked a wound or whatever it is going to be affected. So say a child calls from school because they're, I don't know, getting a bad grade, let's just say that, or they're in trouble with a teacher and they call that person. Now, originally, that person may have handled that situation calmly and said, wait, what the heck did you do? What's going on? And they would have handled it calmly. But your action or your reaction has now changed their energy. So they're now going to go, what do you mean you got in trouble at school? What are you thinking? Their anger or their frustration towards in this situation, that child, has nothing to do with that child. It has to do with them. It has to do with how they feel. And how they're feeling in that given moment has to do with what your action or your reaction caused them to allow themselves to feel. Because that's the other thing we say that we let or that people make us feel a certain way, or people cause us to feel a certain way, and that is, in truth, if you're honest with yourself, a bunch of crap. We allow things to react in a certain way. We allow things to let us feel a certain way or make us feel a certain way. We have to make the choice to allow that. So anyway, we go back to it, and the child now is getting snapped at. Now, not only were they nervous because they got in trouble, but then they're nervous because they have to call their parent, and then their parent reacted so poorly and snapped at them. And now this child's entire energy has changed, and now they're scared and afraid, and they're going into, in my house anyway, we're going to say an anxiety attack because that seems to be the common ground here. They go into an anxiety attack, and now they're just a mess for the rest of the day. And every child that they come in contact with during the school day, and every teacher and every person, whatever it should be, is now going to be affected by that energy. And obviously, I don't need to go on and go any further because you're kind of getting the joke. But my point is that your actions and your reactions to what you do affect so much more that you see. And by going in and discovering where we are allowing ourselves to remain wounded, and where we are allowing our cords to be attached to someone else and someone else's expectation to fix them, when we can go in and we can let those go slowly, we will find that we live a much happier life, we live a much more peaceful life, and we are allowing in opportunities that we would have never even dreamed of because we've made space for it. We've made space in our lives for those things to come. And the forgiveness that you feel for yourself and for others is such a nicer or pleasant feeling than the anger and the frustration and the disappointment and the regret and the self-brutalizing and that whole list of garbage that we carry feels when we're carrying it. So that was kind of what got me going here today. Hi, Lisa. Lisa wants a purple crazy jacket. We talk about that all the time. So I'm going to take a quick break here. It'll just be a couple minutes. I will find a song to play for you guys, and I will be right back. And then we do have a caller, and I'll go ahead and pick that up, and then we will, by then we should be out of time, but I'll be back shortly. Hang in there.
When you're close to me,
Okay, we're back. I'm going to take one call. Here's my problem with Blog Talk. So when Blog Talk listens in on this, please know that I hate the fact that you took the little hands away that wave that say if somebody's listening in or whether they are wanting to be picked up. So I'm going to pick up a caller. John, Mom, don't panic. I'm not going to pick you up. I recognize your phone numbers. They do show up on the dashboard. You're not going to go on the air. If you ever want to be on the air, you can, though, because I'd be happy to. You just have to tell me ahead of time. I won't torture you that way. Real quick, before I take this caller, just want to reiterate, because I never know how long it's going to take, and the show's almost over. You can reach me at GuidedTruth.com. You can reach me at SpirituallyGuidedTruth.com, SpirituallyGuidedTruth at Yahoo. Or you can also reach me on Facebook, Spiritually Guided Truths. You can reach me with questions. I do not do random questions for readings. If you would like a personal reading or if you would like a group reading or a home party, if you live in Southeast Wisconsin area or Northern Illinois area, I'd be happy to schedule those out. But please do not email me all your reading questions. For those of you, dearly, you have a right to all of your opinions, but emailing me a nasty email will not help you, so please don't bother. Save your energy for something else. Truly, you won't get through to me. You won't affect me. So if you don't agree with me, I love you and move on with that. And if you do agree with me, I hope it helps. That's what I'm here for. It's kind of just the way I see it. So please just don't bother. I'm going to pick up caller 818. Hi, 818.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Hello, Lisa. I'm Diane. I am really fabulous. I love every single thing you say. And when you brought up the fact, you know, we all go through struggles, you included. In astrology, they're called squares when the moon or the stars, whatever planets are not in alignment, causes a little bit of frustration. But an astrologer once taught me that those squares turn them into stairs and keep climbing. You know, stairs are hard to climb up, but when you get to the next level, it's pretty amazing. It's better than the lower level.
Yeah, even when you're tired and you're exhausted and you don't think you can take another step.
Oh my God, and you can't, and you don't have time to sleep. Yes, sleep, without sleep, it's bad. There's
my
nothing.
My problem is when I stress eight too much, so my squares break when I try and climb them, and then I crash back down to the bottom.
I love you. You have it all. I just want to say I'm just listening and I'm enjoying, and I'm happy you're back because I remember you and you're fabulous.
Oh.
You have such knowledge. You teach. I love everything you teach. I resonate.
You're going to make me cry.
Oh, okay. I'm just confirming. Good you came back.
I know.
Thank you.
I think it's beautiful and I thank you. You're a blessing. So you're into astrology.
Oh.
Is that my understanding correctly?
Yeah. You know, I'm into I'm outside at a lake right now, and there's some dogs, and I'm just walking by. I'm in Calabasas.
Well, the reason I asked that is it's kind of funny because I follow a couple astrologers, and I'm friendly with them, and I enjoy them so much. And it's funny because as I talked about this and the readings and what have you that I've been getting and the friends that have been calling me in distress and so upset, it's all reverting back to the same thing. It's all reverting back to the same reasons. And when I talk to one of the astrologers that I respect greatly, and he makes a daily post, his name's Storm Sestavani, that is the energy of this entire last quarter of the year. It is bringing up for everyone all those
mm-hmm.
issues that we thought we had buried so deep, whether it be in our eating habits, whether it be in our exercise habits, whether it be in our addictions of whatever form, way, shape, or form,
mm-hmm.
That we thought that we buried those in and we had hidden those in, and they're all coming to the surface. And it really doesn't matter if you want them to or not. It's just completely irrelevant. That is
right,
what's happening
exactly.
in the entire last
no
quarter
control.
Of the year, and everybody's really struggling, and that's kind of what caused me to do this. And people think that because I see what I see, because I am a medium, and I do what I do, that I don't have those struggles, and it's really not true. I'm affected by the universal energy just like everybody else, and in some ways, because I've opened up the package or the gift, so to speak, I'm affected by it even more because I'm more sensitive to it. So people
Absolutely.
Come in and don't know what to do, and they're so frustrated, and it always tends to be a trend, you know, that here we are.
Uh-huh.
And people say, I don't believe in all that crap. You don't have to believe in it, but look around you. Talk to people around you. It seems to go in trends that everybody's dealing with the same hunk of garbage that's being pulled up from
that's
inside.
Right.
And the holidays
one thing
bring
is,
it up. That's the fact.
Nothing's permanent. Everything is just on borrow. We borrow everything. Time, borrow. temporary.
Exactly.
So you know.
We borrow other people's energies. We borrow other people's problems. Sometimes we don't want to face our own demons, so we borrow other people's demons to just throw at them.
People
don't realize that if you just face it and let it go and you take that risk, you're no longer carrying a suitcase. Some of us carry so much baggage, so much luggage. We have so many suitcases we're dragging along that we're moving so slowly and we're absolutely exhausted because they're so heavy. Open them up and see what's inside, one by one. Because as soon as you open it up and you see what's inside and you empty it, that's one less suitcase to carry.
You get goosebumps on that
over
one.
Over and over again. You have so much less to carry. And guess what? You're less exhausted. You're less drained. You're less feeling like somebody has piled sandbags on top of you to walk through life. Because you're letting those suitcases go one by one by one. And the funny part is we do have our own wounds and we do have these things that we carry with us. But most people, as they open up their suitcases, they realize they packed other people's clothes. What they're carrying has nothing to do with them. They allowed somebody else to put their clothes in their suitcase. And then 100%. They drug it along through life with them. And they struggle.
Until they work through it. When you work through it, then it disappears. Because you know why.
Yes, because you open up the suitcase and you see, holy crap, half the stuff in here is not even mine.
Yep.
These are not my clothes. Yep. These are not my things. These are not my views. These are not my opinions. These are not how I feel about myself. These are not how I see myself. These are this person and that person's and this person's. And I've been carrying this crap along with me and I'm exhausted and I'm sick of it.
It's so true.
So I'm going to unpack their stuff and only keep mine. And when I look at mine, I'm going to say, do I even like this anymore? Does this shirt still fit me? Does this item in the suitcase still fit my taste, still fit who I am? Does it still belong to me? Face it, we wouldn't, as much as I have 80s hair that everybody makes fun of, I would not fit in or appreciate my clothes from the 80s. So therefore, I would unpack them, right? I wouldn't take them with me on a trip. I would get rid of them because I'm done with them. That phase is over.
Right. Exactly.
So the 80s hair phase is not over and it never will be. Let me just put that out there. But we're talking about suitcases here.
we're talking about baggage that pulls us down that we're just trying to understand how to, release it. And you're such a great teacher. Look at how basic you explained it with the luggage. Incredible. Lisa, you bullseye it every time. You have such a gift. And I remember you just kind of discovered it last time you were on BTR, right?
Yeah, about 3 years ago I had gone off the air when my husband got sick. Well, it's 3.5 years now, 4 years now, I guess. Actually, weird, it'll be 4 years coming up this December. I went off the air then because my life went into a spiral. And in truth, again, we'll reiterate, and I'm going to throw it out there. This is my first show solo since all that happened. I did go on the air last week, but I made my loving friend Christina come on with me because I was absolutely horrified. My boyfriend was disappointed because I wouldn't let him listen. And I said, oh, my God, I'm about to throw up as it is. You can't possibly go on the air because then I'm going to not be able to do it. And I was a mess, and he came downstairs, and I said, you have to go. You can't be sitting here while I'm doing this. I'm going to be sick. And I didn't let him listen. And then last night he said, I suppose you don't want me to listen in today. And I said, I'm horrified because I'm going to go solo. And I said, but you know what? Yes, you can. So he's listening on VCR as a virgin listener today.
I was absolutely
horrified, and I was sick to my stomach, and I was filled up with anxiety. But you know what? It's kind of what we're talking about on the air today. I had to get past that. Because when I sat last night after I talked to him and he asked if he could listen or not, and I sat down and I thought, I'm going to blame it on the fact that I was afraid he would judge me. He would judge that I sucked or not. Because I even told him, I said, you can listen, but if I suck, you have to be kind. That's what I told him. And it really wasn't that. When I quit talking and we were done with our conversation for the night, it really wasn't that. It was truly my baggage, my disappointment, my self-esteem issues that I would disappoint him. So when I talk about our actions and our reactions being attached to emotion, it was my self-esteem issue that thought that I may disappoint him. And he's the last person on the planet I ever want to disappoint because I have a lot of respect for how he sees me. And I needed to practice what I preach in that moment. And I will admit that when I saw his phone number pop up on the list, I was like, oh. And I got a little twist in my stomach, but I have to practice what I preach. And I had to let go of the baggage that I was going to be a disappointment to him. I doubt that I actually am. Even if I screwed up, I doubt that I actually am. But that was me. That was my internal wound that I was then placing on him. He wanted to listen. He wanted to be a part of this. And I was saying no and making him feel like I didn't want him there. Do you see how that action and that reaction affects? That's hitting him 100%. And feeling like she doesn't want me to be a part of this. And that's not true at all. It's my wound, my inner baggage that says I'm going to be a disappointment, and I don't want him to hear that. But you see how our actions and our reactions to our emotions affect someone else?
That's the ego. It's the ego. It's all about self. But that's, you know, we always attribute, it's always me, 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 but it's not, you know, it's always the other person's issue, and we're just reflecting it. So,
and that's what I mean. Sometimes it's easier rather than facing our own demons and facing our own truths that kind of suck about ourselves. It's easier to take somebody else's and throw them at them. Because as long as I'm throwing their demons back in their own face, they can't see mine.
Exactly.
Because if they can see mine, then holy crap, they might make me see mine. And I don't want to see mine. Mine are bad. So, like I said, it's kind
of
practice in what you preach.
Exactly. And I'm so happy you're back. Are you on daily? I mean, weekly?
No, I'm going to try and be on. I haven't really set a schedule yet. Right now, my life is a little bit crazy, and I'm still trying to kind of pull my head out where it needs to be. And so it's kind of nuts right now. There's a lot of people in my life, and there's a lot of obligations that I have right now, and I'm kind of sorting those out again. Those are my own baggage that I carried, that I took on so many things, and I'm trying to sort out what I actually have to carry and what I don't. But I'm going to try and be on at least once a week. And if you find me on Facebook, I always post when I'm going to be on the show, and I always put the link on there. Always, always, always. So you can. Did you have Facebook? Are you a Facebooker?
You know, I'm not a Facebook person.
That's
but
fine.
I can figure.
Well,
it
I'm
going
to go put a link on my website that'll take people there too. I've just got to figure out how to do it, and hopefully, Christina, Mrs. Technology, is going to help me do that. So hopefully, we'll have that on there soon. But you can find it. Okay, and you can always email me and ask me, and I'll be happy to reply.
You're the best. Thank you, Dom.
Thank you. Care. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate talking to you. We are out of time. I should be on next week. I am going to try for Wednesday mornings because for whatever reason, they seem to be the calmest. So hopefully Wednesday mornings at 10, and then eventually I'm going to add another show in the evenings one night a week, and I don't know which night that's going to be yet. But as of right now, I think I'm going to be sticking with Wednesday mornings at 10.
Perfect. Thank you, love.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, love. You have a great day. It's nice talking to you.
Back at
you. Okay, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for coming. Feel free to email me, text me, Facebook me, whatever you want to do, and I will see you next week. Have a great day, everyone. Love y'all.
I hope the days come easy and the moments pass slow, and each road leads you where you want to go. And if you're faced with a choice and you have to choose, I hope you choose the one that means the most to you. And if one door opens to another door closed, I hope you keep on walking till you find the window. If it's cold outside, show the world the warmth of your smile. But more